Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Heidi ho, neighbor.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
That's the best way to put it, Jeff. We're the hosts, the Sloppy Boys. Yeah. Okay, I like that. Now, did you guys think I was doing a Ned Flanders impression?
I thought you were doing a Mr. Wilson impression.
Me too.
I was doing Mr. Wilson.
But did you say neighborino or did you just say neighbor?
I think I just said neighbor.
So that's
I can remember that far.
That is a crucial distinction between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're hanging out with your friends, like, oh, let me do my Flanders impression. If they don't add neighborino, you got to ding them.
I hate to do it, but I got to ding you.
I hate to do it. Hell, I got to ding you.
The wacky neighbor is, that's a good spot to be in, you know, on one of these
Kramer,
shows. Flanders. Everybody else has to be like kind of normal. Wacky neighbor. Mm-hmm. Gets to be wacky.
He's nuts. He's wild. He wears a different shirt than everyone else.
He used to trip me out as a kid thinking about how, like, set-wise, the Kramer's apartment really wasn't back there, or Wilson's house really didn't have to be there. You know, because if you don't see it, you don't build it. And I feel like I just plugged in that they would build the whole neighborhood of sets.
You know, the post office and the street.
From Tim Taylor's house all the way out to the end of the Detroit suburb that he lived in.
Yeah, well, you know how method actors will stay in character all day or whatever? I imagine there are some set designers that want to build the whole town. Just to
Did you ever see Schenectady, New York?
Remember no, that, but that my parents live near Schenectady, New York.
Okay. Well, that's right. Schenectady. They end up doing something like that where they build out like a whole city. But it's worth watching. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Is it? I heard it's sad.
It's very sad.
Oh, great. Can't wait to watch.
It's, who is it? Charlie Kaufman and... It was supposed to be Spike Jonze directing, but I think he opted out and did the Wild Things movie. But it started as the two of them trying to make the scariest movie they could think of. And it's all about like aging and just not having any, I don't know, trying to like get your life to fit into like an art piece or something.
Hmm.
Now, when you say the Wild Things movie, you don't mean Wild Things.
You don't mean...
you're not talking about Neve Campbell.
Neve Campbell's...
No. No, I think he opted out of the project to watch that movie, but then he wanted to direct Where the Wild Things Are. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, that's it.
He had to build in a cold shower after watching the movie, and then it's going to take a little time.
Where the Wild Things Are, featuring friend of the pod, James Gandolfini.
He's in there?
Yeah. Yes, he's Maurice.
Yeah, he does the voice of the beast.
Oh. Is it Maurice? The main beast.
Hey, Max, what are you doing?
Yeah, and it's cool that he got to be friend of the pod by being impersonated so accurately.
Max.
Give me the prescriptions.
Yeah, he keeps asking Max about his prescriptions.
Yeah.
Max, give me the prescriptions.
It's good. It gets better every time, Mike.
Well, it's wavering.
Max. Hey, Max, where's Anthony?
It's good.
Wish calm.
Is it good? It's good within this moment of time where no one else is doing one in this like little 5 second window.
Hey, best I've heard on the podcast.
Good.
When Gandolfini was still with us and he was still acting, I feel like he was the foremost, you know, at that time.
Impression of that.
He's the one to beat.
Yeah. He did the best Tony Soprano impression.
He owned it.
Gandolfini did the best Soprano impression. So that's why they hired him.
That before they rolled, I think that David Chase would always go over to him and be like, hey, could you do your Tony impression?
For this take. Actually, just do them for all the takes.
Okay, in this take, James, okay, so you don't have the prescriptions and you want to find out where they are.
Okay, Chase. Just wear the prescriptions.
Well, you guys want to get into some booze news?
Yeah, sure.
Hit it!
I think, honestly, us just saying do-do-do may be better than anything anyone sent in.
Ouch.
Oh, okay. I'm in break.
Do-do-do. Nice. Do-do-do-do-do.
Hell yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, yeah. Do-do-do-do-do.
This sounds like Aphex Twin.
It sounds better.
It's booze news, you sloppy bitch.
I love that.
I like when they leave a little treat at the end.
Yeah, that's a treat on treat at the end there. Oh, that was great. Who was that?
That was Eric Kang, the Kanger.
Kanger's back.
Kanger's back.
Kanger's back in town.
He's a very polite guy. He said, you know what? I've got one on the show before, so make sure everyone else gets their turn. But I heard that amen break in there, and we just had our sample episode.
Right.
He said, we gotta play this thing while it's hot. Well, it's on the tip of our tongue.
It's timely.
That was it, right? That drum beat is the most popular drum loop in all history.
Yeah, I think so.
That song reminded me of, you were saying Aphex Twin. It reminded me of Prodigy, the one that's like, come play my game.
Oh yeah. Breathe.
Breathe with me. Yeah. I got to listen to more of that music.
Do you guys think that the Amen drum break will ever be surpassed by, the drum beat that I played on our song, Pass That Doobie?
Well, maybe. How many times has Pass That Doobie been sampled?
Well, we sampled it in Pass That Doobie. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I guess we did.
Well, that's one.
You did an impression of a drummer doing Pass My Doobie on that.
Okay, here's today's top booze news. Check me out. Look what I'm drinking. Booze. You see this?
Oh, cacti?
Oh, I've heard of this.
You know who it is?
Who it is?
Sprite.
Travis Scott.
Oh, yes.
Give me the loot, baby.
Cactus Jack himself.
I see.
Cacti. I'm drinking lime, strawberry, pineapple, agave spiked seltzers brought to us by the rapper himself.
Wow.
And they have 7% alcohol.
Ooh,
okay.
So that's only topped by White Claw Surge is 8%. That's maybe the only one that's higher than this.
Bud Light Platinum also is coming out with a seltzer that's higher proof than normal Bud Light seltzer.
One day we'll all be at a party. You're going to go to a party and it's just going to be, okay, bring your one seltzer to drink for the whole night because it's 100 fucking ABV and you don't just need the one.
It's funny, too, that I feel like the trends are happening in both directions at the same time. We're like, low alcohol content is kind of hip right now and then also high. So we're just turning into a menu of percentages where you're going to order a beer and be like, 7.1 for me, please.
Tim, it's the internet. There's anything you want is at your fingertips.
They made a big deal of it being agave. So it's sweetened. There's more calories in it than your other seltzers. These are 150 calories, 3 carbos.
It probably tastes good.
The flavors, it tastes just like the other ones. I mean, it's way more expensive. It's like double the price and they taste like White Claw. But I will say that the pineapple, they did something right with the pineapple. That tastes like a nice actual fruit. But here's where I got to ding Travis. Cacti is the name of his agave drink. I looked it up. Technically, agave is not a cactus. It is a succulent.
Man.
So you better change the name of this or I'm going to go fucking sicko mood. Mood. Hey. I'm going to be in a sicko mood.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, come on the pod. Defend yourself.
I wonder if that big, huge rap star making millions of dollars gives a shit about that. Tim, what do you think?
I don't think he listens, but if we could get the word out to him, that would be awesome.
He doesn't care. He likes, because succulent is a weird thing to call your drink, I would say.
I think it's kind of suggestive.
No.
Did you guys watch his Netflix documentary? It's terrible.
No, I know it exists, though.
Yeah, I couldn't get through it.
It's like unwatchable. It's like, he crowd surfs. Oh my God, he crowd surfs. And then then like they don't really know what the arc of the whole movie is going to be. So then it's like, he didn't win the Grammy. And you're like, well, this wasn't a Grammy doc. It was a crowd surf doc.
But he crowd surfed.
A great hip hop doc is The Carter on Lil Wayne.
Oh yeah.
When like his entourage confronts him about drinking Scissorp and he kicks a guy out. It's great.
We got to do an episode about Scissorp.
Let's do it.
Codeine cough syrup?
Yeah.
I think we talked about that once before, and it was quickly shot down because of the codeine.
It'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kill you, though?
We don't want to die. I mean, if you drank a whole bottle, it's a narcotic opioid.
Yeah, but isn't there like a Robitussin Sprite Skittles version of this or something?
Let's get that.
Oh, sure. You can put those things together, I think.
And also in booze news, we got to talk about Solid Wiggles.
Yeah.
How about this, huh? We tried this cool thing. Our friend Jack Schramm launched a product of his own, Solid Wiggles. It's like Jello shots, but they're beautiful cakes.
Yeah.
It's a little, yeah, it's like a cake. I would just say like 10 inches across, 8 inches across.
Yeah.
I don't know the measurements.
He sent one to each of us. And it had little like flowers, sort of like frosting flowers in the middle of it. How are those? Those look so cool, but I also had like a tough time imagining how that even happened.
I think it's like condensed
because
milk.
When you eat them, you don't, it's not like you're biting into a flower. It just disappears. And you're like, hey, where was that flower?
Yeah, it's gone. Like there was no, it didn't have any mass.
It's gelatin like anything else.
Well, it was beautiful and it was fun to be eating a Jello shot, but feel like it looked like a fancy Easter treat or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we all tried the Stunner, which was the Blanco tequila and citrus flavor one. There's also like a Campari orange one, but I loved it. And it made me really think about how much I liked the taste of tequila. Like the actual taste of tequila is good, at least in Jello form.
The taste, you know, when you have a Jello shot and you're like, oh, Jello, and you drink it or eat it. And it's like, oh, that's a lot of vodka in there. Mm-hmm. This, you got the hint of the tequila, but I didn't feel like it was overpowering at all.
Well, it's a nice grapefruit lime, I think.
Yeah.
Was the other stuff.
Because originally, I feel like in high school and stuff, when I had Jello shots, the whole concept is to just like
get it down,
squeeze the little cup and tumble it down your throat. And you're trying to not even taste vodka because you don't like drinking it. And you're like, and then later you feel buzzed.
And then like Jello shots, I feel like I'm always sort of like spinning the cup around my tongue, trying to get out the little bits of Jello.
Yeah. Jello shots are tough.
They're tough. This one, you chop it up into little wedges and you give them out at a little gathering.
Yeah. And Schrammer, I'm in New York. He's in New York. Delivered to my doorstep himself.
My God.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Nice guy.
And he'll do it for everyone who orders at Solid Wiggles. Check him out, baby.
And if he says no, then they're also on Goldbelly. But I say get him to hand deliver. It's better.
The wiggle with the squiggle.
And that pretty much does it for Bip 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 Bip.
Hey, a pretty good segment. Pretty good segment today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A segment that's really stuck around on this podcast.
I'll do a quick update. This isn't really a booze news. This is just you guys had asked me about an update on the Singapore Sling. How would you feel after drinking a lot of them?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
How would you sleep? I can tell you after drinking 3.5, I slept like dog shit.
You got a juice belly, huh? Didn't you?
Yeah, big old pineapple juice belly. I didn't think it was possible.
You did, didn't you? And you didn't think you would, but you did.
Swishing around. It probably sounded like you were sleeping on a waterbed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if I slept well that night. Probably did.
Just check your dream journal.
Oh, yeah.
I had a dream that night that you know, Mike and Jeff are being mean to me again. They're always mean to me on the pod, and now they're finally killing me. Every week, they clown on me. I'll clown on them.
I'll clown on them. Oh.
For once.
For once. Oh.
For once in my miserable life. Oh, yeah.
For once in my shitty little life.
Their lives will be shitty, too.
Well, you guys want to hear about the drink of the day?
Yes, I want to hear about the drink
of the day.
And I'll give you a heads up word of warning. I'm not going to do it yet. But based on the name of this drink, I might at some point in the pod reference the TV show Kung Fu.
And okay. We'll be ready to bleep that out. Well, you might remember I did the intro for The Hurricane.
Who could forget?
A French Quarter classic. So at this point, I'm sort of like the New Orleans guy on the pod. You know what I mean?
I see it. I see that.
People say that, I think.
Yeah. I've never been there in real life, but on the pod, it's sort of like, this is sort of canonically my thing.
Right. Tim has a story where he walked, I think, 17 miles in that town. But yes, I do think,
Mike, you're getting away from the point. You're getting away from the point. I'm more like the New Orleans guy.
Yeah. Okay, good. See, I get that.
Folks, we're talking the Grasshopper.
Oh,
well, I'm excited for this one.
It's a New Orleans classic from the French Quarter. Another, would you believe it, Prohibition Times drink. With a similarly foggy backstory. What I've been able to piece together online, there's a restaurant called Two Jacks. I hope I'm saying that right, because I thought it looked more like Two Jacques, because it's French. But they say Two Jacks. Tim, have you come across this?
I thought it was Two Jacques, but if they say Two Jacks, then you shall say Two Jacks.
I'm going to say Two Jacques, because that looks more sounds more French to me.
Yeah, I like Jacques better.
Yeah, right. So, okay, there's a lot of French names in here, so bear with me, folks. I know I'm the New Orleans guy, but...
Oh, I wish I wasn't the New Orleans guy.
Oh, boy. This is going to go badly, Jeff.
Philbert Guichet...
Yeah.
And his family purchased this bar from the Two Jocks in the 1910s. Philbert himself was a bartender. He used to compete in cocktail competitions up in New York City. Mm-hmm. This drink was created by Philbert up in New York City, and he took home the second prize for the Grasshopper. And he took it home proudly to Two Jocks, where locals order it to this day.
Do you know what he lost to?
No,
the beer.
So here's the thing. There aren't a lot of written records about the drink due to Prohibition. And also, Two Jacques didn't have written menus till even later than that.
Oh.
So there's not a lot of proof about it going back to this guy, Philbert. But food historian Poppy Tooker says you could get one at Two Jacques, quote unquote, one way or another from 1919 onward.
Ooh.
One way or another.
That's Prohibition, baby.
Yeah.
I don't want it just one way or the other. I want it from Philbert.
Philbert Guichon.
It's cool that this is a New Orleans one because I've never had it. I've, you know, been aware of it forever. And you always hear of it sort of as a, almost like a drink to make fun of, grasshopper is too sweet or whatever.
Guilty pleasure.
Which is dumb because it's like, it's an after dinner drink, much like the Brandy Alexander or the Golden Dream. You have this like for dessert, so there's no need to knock it. But I sort of picture it as this sort of like Betty Crocker recipe, like 1950s post-war Eisenhower era, like a perfect housewife making after dinner drinks. Do you follow that Instagram account, 70s Dinner Party?
Yeah, and they're all like gross, weird, like hot dogs cut into like smiley faces and shit.
It's a lot of like ham shaped in the food with like cream cheese eyes and stuff.
And they're like the photo, the film they use too is like 70s film or whatever they used at the time in the 70s. So it even looks more like drained of color and like
everything too much is texture. Like tones of orange and brown.
But I sort of think of a grasshopper. You know, because it seems like it's going to taste like a thin mint. So then when you say it's New Orleans and it's Prohibition era, it does make sense. It's like, oh, of course there was like cool French creme de menthe and there's fancy creme de cacao and all that shit. And they just did a fancy French cool version of it.
Yeah.
They could do that with anything.
I this is a drink where I thought, like when I heard of the mint julep, this is kind of what I thought this was.
Me too.
Yes. Jessica said the same thing that, and I remember us talking about that in the julep episode is we were surprised it's just like whiskey with mashed up leaves in it. We thought it was going to be like sweet and green.
Like a mint thing, not a whiskey, something that tastes like mint and not whiskey.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, even I think back then, the ingredients were less common. Creme de Menthe came about in the late 1800s. Creme de cacao came out in the late 1500s. So these are old ass ingredients.
Oh.
And cream is as old as cows.
The cow itself.
As old as the cow. And the best thing about this, equal parts, baby, no math.
Oh, I saw that and I fainted.
I love it.
Yeah. It's, I'm picturing, so, like I'm in my, the taste buds of my brain.
Yes.
Picturing something that tastes like a milkshake, like a Shamrock Shake.
Oh, yeah.
I love Shamrock Shakes.
That's what I
love. Thin Mints. I'm going to love this thing.
I know. I like Thin Mints. I like the mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Ooh. Yeah, this is sort of a Sloppy Boys extended universe stuff, but we did a Twitch live stream for St. Patrick's Day. Tim, you were kind enough to pick me up a Shamrock Shake.
Oh, yeah.
And we put some Jameson in those bad boys, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was really good. And it was good either way. Like you could put one shot in and you're having a gentle drink, or you could put like 10 shots in. It was still good. Oh, I love those shammy shakies.
As we go to make our official IBA grasshoppers, we'll be preparing 2/3 of an ounce creme de cacao, white. There's also a dark version. If you want that green, you're going to want that white. 2/3 of an ounce creme de menthe, 2/3 of an ounce fresh cream. Pour all ingredients into a shaker filled with ice. Shake briskly for a few seconds. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Now, this is one that's up, but since it's creamy, I think I'm okay with no ice.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm so like you relieved that you're okay with this.
Like with a white Russian, that has ice in it, but it feels strange to put an ice cube in this.
Yeah, weird chocolate mint, like creamy guy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You're going to enjoy that, Jeff. I think, who knows? I'd never had.
You think so?
I think so, but who knows? It's going to be the worst shit I've ever had in my life.
All right, well, shall we?
I hope I love it.
Me too.
Folks, we'll be right back.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
back talking grasshoppers. Guys, what's the first thing you notice about these bad boys?
It's green.
Tis green, Jeff. I wore all green today, too.
Hey, you did. Look at you.
Yeah.
This thing is Nickelodeon green, folks.
Yeah, shockingly green. And I'm happy that we got, because I almost talked us into using the dark brown cacao that we had left over from Brandy Alexander. And then, Jeff, you said, Tim, let's do it right. Let's do it once and do it right.
I wonder what that would look like with the brown in there. Like, what's green and brown look like? Probably just darker brown.
A certain vomitous substance that I won't go into.
This looks like, if you put chocolate chips in here, it would look like mint ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
Well, let's get into it.
Shall we?
Oh, it smells good. Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. Wow. Wonderful.
Shamrock shake, baby.
Yep. This is exactly what I thought it would taste like.
And what I thought the mint julep would taste like.
Right.
You know, I think I thought I stole a little nip of
Tim.
The creme de menthe. Creme de menthe? Creme de menthe? What are we going to stay on here?
Menthe.
Minty, creamy? Menthe. I stole a little sip of it, and alone it kind of tasted like gum, you know, it was that minty.
Mouthwash, scope.
It tastes like mouthwash, mine did.
But then when you get this, you get the cacao and the cream in there.
Yeah, I took a little sip of the cacao, and it gave me flashbacks to the Bud Light Ugly Sweater Pack, because I'm not used to chocolate being in a clear liquid form.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're not.
It just seems like there's some mad science going on.
There's you'll see pictures of this drink, and there's like chocolate shavings in it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That seems very appropriate. I wish I had like a thin mint as a garnish to put on the side.
Ooh.
Or Reese's cups. Nice. I would do that.
A thin mint garnish. Now, Mike, I know you get a lot of crap about your substitutions and your execution of the drink. That to me looks textbook. Right now, it looks like you've nailed it.
Hard to screw up. You go to the store, creme de cacao. They have one brand. You go creme de menthe, one brand.
Yeah. Did you do Hiram Walker?
No, I did something. Well, the bottle's not in front of me, but I think it's called. I should go get it because I want to see what it's called. Hold on.
Yeah. Tim and I got the Hiram Walker, which is the company that just makes like bottom shelf any flavor liqueurs.
Yeah. And I think we should give Hiram Walker a big shout out because I love that label. What do you got?
It's such a staple. Yeah. What do you got, Mike?
Creme de menthe. I got Coulson's.
Let's see it. Hold it up. Be proud of it.
Coulson's.
Yeah, Coulson's. Oh, yeah.
I have the orange Coulson's cacao brand. Of this brand, Coulson's.
Oh.
And that's a nice big jug.
And then the creme de cacao is Lords, L-L-O-R-D-S.
Think of all the grasshoppers you could make with those two giant bottles of obscure liqueurs.
I was like, when I was buying these, I was like, oh boy, I hope I can find a small one. I was like, no way. I barely found one of them.
Those are going to be done by the end of the week.
You know, it's funny. I went into the first place and, you know, this section, it's not the first place I went into. It had like a full wall of tequila, a full wall of gin, a full wall of whiskey, and then like one wall of just like all the miscellaneouses. And what do I see there but like the Fernet? I saw all the cacaos. I saw all these things like I'd heard about in this podcast, which I've been substituting. I was like, this is where they've all been hiding away.
That's the place.
The oddities.
Yeah.
At Cap and Cork, I saw the fancy, I looked at some YouTube videos of what fancy bartenders used to make this. And yeah, there are like these glorious looking bottles of these liqueurs that come from France and they're $45. So I didn't buy them.
Wow.
But then we've talked about, not by name, but we've talked about Hiram Walker before. Mm-hmm. And that's the brand, I think when we were talking about Triple Sec, when you buy a bottle of Triple Sec that just has the cartoon orange on it, it's Hiram Walker. And I was just looking them up and it's great. It's great looking at their whole line because it's all blue shit and green shit and dumb shit. But here's what was interesting. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now. Hiram Walker is a guy. He was like a Canadian liquor baron. And he's the guy that invented Canadian Club whiskey. And that is like their bread and butter.
Wow.
But then they also, some little side business they have are all these stupid schnapps and liqueurs that they sell for like really cheap.
Isn't that kind of a bummer for Hiram that like Canadian Club whiskey is, that has prevailed.
Yeah.
And he's got his name on this sort of like bottom shelf fruity stuff.
$11 bottles of sugar. It's probably what put him in the grave.
These things are only 30 proof, I'm seeing. Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty weak. They're just this whole thing is flavors. As a dessert drink.
Yeah.
I should have said that in the open.
I think you did.
Isn't it kind of weird with these liqueurs? It's like you could also just get these flavors from syrups. Like you could use Hershey syrup. It's kind of not worth it just to have like 15% alcohol and use a liqueur. Mm-hmm. Right, but hey, whatever. No, here's a factoid I'm looking at right now. Canadian Club Whiskey was really, it was just called Club Whiskey. And it was a big hit in Canada, Club Whiskey.
Ah.
But then American distillers banded together and they lobbied to get it so that all imports had to put their country of origin into the name.
Right.
As a sort of like, stay out of my country. You buy American whiskey.
Oh, wow.
And so Club Whiskey became Canadian Club and it didn't affect them. It was still a huge hit and people in America are like, oh, I love Canadian Club.
Right, because that almost makes it seem more alluring because it's like, oh, it's from a different country. It's Canadian. Oh,
from the Great White North.
Doing something we don't know about. The creme de menthe looks like food coloring when I was like pouring it out. Yeah. It's like that.
Oh, it's dark. Like when it's in the bottle, I couldn't even tell if it was green. It looked like brown or red or something. And then, as soon as it hits that cream, you get that neon.
Yeah.
This looks like Ghostbusters Ninja Turtles green. It's
whoa. Well, speaking of Ghostbusters, Tim's has gone the way of Slimer. He's gone. His drink is gone and Slimer moves fast. Sometimes.
Yeah. No need to explain.
Yeah.
No. Okay. That was.
I drank this drink the way that Slimer eats hot dogs.
Yeah. We've talked about this. We've had this idea before. Who do you think drinks these? Like, who comes to mind when you drink these, when someone drinks these?
Children.
Small kids. I picture it as a family is out to dinner at TGI Fridays. Not the old TGI Fridays, the current TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
And then the mom says, I think I'll have a grasshopper. It's Friday night.
Yeah.
This feels like an old lady drink to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not very strong, and it's like someone who actually would get a dessert drink.
Oh,
It was part of their like growing up was dessert drinks.
Who grew up with dessert drinks? Just like Silent Generation folks,
right?
You know, like truly old, like grandparents, older than boomers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring it back. I think it's cool if I were out to dinner with you guys, and then they say, sirs, well, your dessert order, and you guys are like, the cheesecake. Oh, I'll have the chocolate cake. And then suddenly it's all down to Tim. Tim, we ordered, what are you gonna get?
So to impress the waiter.
Mm-hmm.
All eyes on me. And I say, actually, I'm gonna have an after dinner cocktail.
Wow, the restaurant rips into applause.
Yeah, that's the guy from the pod.
Waiter's like, sir, are you sure you've just eaten 5 steaks? I don't think you have.
Did you enjoy your Arby's, sir?
Did you enjoy your trough of shit, you idiot?
More chicken fingers.
You guys want to hear about the ice cream version?
Yeah, baby.
Well, closely associated with Wisconsin's supper clubs due to Wisconsin's booming dairy industry, you might have heard of the grasshopper as more of a milkshakey dessert, more of a soft servey dessert even, piled high. Benedetti's Supper Club in Belwa, Wisconsin?
I'm guessing.
I'm going to go with what? Benedetti's.
I'm making a grasshopper guess, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's Eau Claire.
In Belwa, Wisconsin, uses 3/4 of a gallon of ice cream for one drink.
Oh, whoa. No.
This thing is piled high.
you ever been to Wisconsin?
Never.
I think I have. Madison.
I've been to,
Milwaukee. Been to Milwaukee. Seen the Fonzarelli statue on the river.
I'll tell you what I love about Wisconsin, and maybe get a little bit of this in Minnesota too. I love when and speaking of drinking, the bars when there's like a corner bar that's in a residential neighborhood, I feel like New York and California are very rigid about commercial zones versus residential zones. But in Wisconsin, I feel like you're like walking through a suburb and then there's like a house on the corner
with like a, neon like a sign.
Grain belt light in the window. And you're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to go in there and have MGD. And that's what you want. I wish I had that in my neighborhood.
Yeah, that's cool.
For me, I'm either drinking in my house or I'm out on the Sunset Strip.
Right. Dressed to the nines.
Bottle service.
I got a white tux and tails. Bottle service out in the street.
Tap dancing, walking down the street. Well, you guys, this is our first time having, but you guys know, the musical artist, Peter Gabriel?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sledgehammer.
Well, he used to. Right, exactly. So he used to...
The Sledgehammer himself.
The Sledgehammer himself, yeah. He had other songs, too. Unique videos in the 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
Very unique.
I mean, we don't even have to go into... I mean, he was in Genesis for years and years, but we don't have to get into
that's
that.
Right. That's right. And he's an Englishman.
So he was into Genesis, Sega Genesis. He played a lot. Continue,
right,
Mike.
Right. So he, you know, when that song Sledgehammer, thank you, Jeff, was like getting big and was like he was touring with it. And that was a song, you know, he always had to play because it was on the album. Mm-hmm. He was with a band that didn't treat him with respect. Let's just say that. And
interesting. Peter Gabriel.
He had an incident. Peter Gabriel. Yeah. He had an incident where they were having grasshoppers and like no respect was given to him.
Oh,
I'll just leave it at that. And
yeah, okay.
So he went at this one show he did. He kind of was like had it with his band and how they were treating him, and just he needed help. He needed to like get the word out for someone to maybe help him somehow, or just get the word about how he was being treated. And take a listen. I have a version of the song here that he did one night.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I would like that green drink, but I don't know where it's been. My bandmates just made it, but I'm not sure they're my friends. Right. All they do is prank me, but I'm the leader of this band. It's been going on for months now. They put a rubber snake in my bed. I spent a full day crying when they said my dad was dead. Just wanna drink this grasshopper. Quite strange.
Oh,
did you put in a real grasshopper? Why don't I get respect from you guys? Grasshopper, you put a rubber snake in my hat. I really like you guys. Why do you treat me like that? It's a prank. It's a prank. Prank. It's a prank, Havers.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd like to have it.
It's a great deal.
But I don't trust my band. You put a bucket on my head. And you kicked me in the balls from behind. You turned the lights off when I was in the bathroom. I peed on my jacket. My brand new jacket. My cousin gave it to me for Christmas. I want the drink, but I assume you guys put a real grasshopper or a cricket in it, or a worm.
You've done worse before. Oh, why don't you guys be nice to me? Oh, I'm nice to you. We got 5 more months of this tour. Oh.
Damn.
Wow. That was like some of the least amount of respect I've ever witnessed that they were giving to him.
Right, from a backing band, sure. And you could tell, you knew it was live because you heard the backup singers singing what they usually sing in the song.
Yeah.
In the real song. But
Right. They weren't clued
in. They were locked into their normal thing.
Yeah, they were just like, we don't know what he's doing. We're just going to do our usual thing. But yeah, so he wanted a grasshopper and they didn't... Did I set that up correctly? Did you get what was going on there? He wanted a grasshopper, but he didn't trust it.
Yeah. Because of all the pranks.
All the pranks, it's kind of prank he had two ideas sort of happening at once.
Right.
He did.
I mean, one thing I totally followed, like, the song is normally Sledgehammer, and this one was Grasshopper, and
right.
But as far as worrying about the pranks go, what is Sledgehammer really about? I don't think I've really listened to Sledgehammer's verses.
Yeah, it's
in a
weird one. It's, I don't really know. It's very kind of obtuse.
Let's just say it's easily adaptable to be about pranks as probably its main thing. Mm-hmm. So he was able to
That's why he chose to do that.
He did that.
Chose it. He did what he did. And we love him for it. We love Peter Gabriel.
Well, it was still really good. And I got to say, you know, Harry Styles has been covering that song recently. And I got to say, if he hears this Grasshopper version, he should be covering that because it's just as good, if not better.
It is just as good. But here's the thing. I think Harry Styles surrounds himself with a backing band that really likes him, respects what he does.
Right.
That's the problem. I think Peter Gabriel just didn't have the right guys behind him.
Man.
The right group.
And like coming from Genesis and like, I don't know how they broke up or whatever, but you would think coming from Genesis and going on your own, you'd want a band that you could rely on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That sucks. Cause you're out there alone. Basically it's your name on the marquee.
It just really sucks.
Yeah. It just sucks.
It sucks for him. And he's probably thinking back, hey, Phil Collins, you know, isn't so bad in retrospect.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other guy.
I like him too.
McGruff over there.
Well, he was pissed
off.
During the song there, I finished my grasshopper.
You did, didn't you? I did too.
I did, didn't I? Yeah.
Hey, Mike, is that a margarita glass?
Yes, it is.
Why didn't you use that fucker on Margarita Week?
Couldn't find it. And I don't like margaritas. And,
yeah, you do.
But I could...
You decided you do.
The glasses. I don't like the margarita glasses.
Okay, good.
I didn't know where my martini glasses are. Everything's glasses are everywhere. Trayers are going missing. It's a mess.
My God.
Well, what do you say we make another round?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, sure. Ding. You're back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back.
Oh, hey, look at this. I made it with the dark cacao instead of the white cacao, and it's still green.
How?
It's still very
the
green.
Creme de menthe is so green.
The green is just like so, it has so much dye in it.
And, you know, cream is so creamy.
Yeah, that's true.
It provides such a blank canvas.
Yeah.
Well, remember, our Brandy Alexanders weren't brown, so maybe this dark cacao just doesn't have too much of the brown stuff in it.
Mm. That's true. I went with a beer. I didn't want to drink another one of those things again. Too much. It's just the thought of drinking another one made me sick.
Michael.
Well, tell me what type of beer you're having at least.
Omission Brewing Company Pale Ale.
Oh, yeah. Those are gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
They good.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to just give you my review on the drink. I love the Grasshopper. Love it to death. Could not think of drinking another one.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm one sip in and already it seems I'm like, oh, I guess I am doing a weird thing. I got a little wrapped up in it.
Yeah. I made a big one the first time too. So this one is particularly outstaying its welcome.
So it's funny because it's not an order again for me, but I do like it a lot.
It's an order again in your life, but it's not a second rounder.
Yeah, second rounder. Exactly.
I love it. I'm same kind of thing. Drinking two in a night is a weird move, and I'm realizing now I shouldn't finish this one.
Sure.
And it's nice to know. Don't stress if you have the wrong cacao. They taste. I thought they were supposed to taste exactly the same, but I swear this one is more chocolatey.
Hmm.
Don't stress anyway. I mean, that's like you're worried about a drink. Do
in
not.
Life,
yeah.
There are worse things than having your cocktail be the wrong color.
Right. Worry about some things, not the color of your grasshopper.
This drink is great if you're 71 years old. You've just had a big dinner with your children and grandchildren. Mm. And now you're settling in to watch Wheel of Fortune and Cheers. The year is 1989.
Yeah.
Mm. You're going to want a grasshopper.
That sounds appropriate.
Maybe even more than one.
Yeah.
But for me right now, no, I'm good with one on these, and they're fine, and well and good.
What about New Orleans? When you picture 1918 two Jacques down in the French Quarter, this makes sense there. It's like a restaurant, you know. So no one's drinking this at a bar.
Right.
I'm looking up two Jacques.
Two Jacques also serves it with a float, which is not traditional.
This is spelled much different than I thought it was. It's one word.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's why I was so confused.
One word, two Jacques. That's their catchphrase.
Oh, yeah. So they do a float of brandy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I think that this thing could be way stronger and then it would slow me down.
Yep.
But with brandy, then it's just a Brandy Alexander with little mint.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think you're right about 1989 retiring to the living room after a family dinner. I could see myself around the holidays coming out with a tray of these and wowing people and saying,
yeah,
they're grass.
This is a very holiday drink,
especially if you're having too much other holiday stuff. That's like the other holiday
flavors
tastes that are well covered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the end of the holidays when it's like almost New Year's and you're kind of fucking sick of the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And you just want to eat and drink normal shit. That's maybe when I would say, I've got a nice window green kind of a cocktail we can have. It's more secular.
Hey, this place looks, this Two Jacques looks really Fancy.
I know. I was looking at pictures too. It looks familiar to me. I definitely have not been inside, but I feel like I saw the sign during my wacky clomp day.
It wasn't part of your big carouse?
if it would have been one of the main stopping points if I knew about it, but I think I went to Giacomo's. Well,
there you have it.
See you later, grasshopper.
Grasshopper.
Boing. That, my friends, is the grasshopper.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we've reached the point of the show where it's time for...
Don't say it.
Well, the chocolate challenge.
No! Wow! Oh, Tim, you remind me of Wonka himself on this day.
Well, you know, we've been talking about so much about chocolate.
So much.
Yeah.
Cacao. All that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where the chocolate challenge comes in. But, you know, sometimes in life, life just doesn't work out for you. You know, and and sometimes in life, mm-hmm. you spend $30 on a gag you think is going to be just for the perfect thing for your podcast.
Oh, no.
But the whole affair just turns to shit.
Tim, that's a lot of money to spend. You said it wasn't a lot of money. That's
all the money I have. I cleared out.
I know.
$30 tops for the whole thing. Here's what happened, folks, and you guys. We haven't even really connected about this, but I texted you the other day and I said, I'm sending you packages. Don't open them, but it's for the pod, and I'll make sure it's there in time.
Uh-huh.
And then, Mike, I sent you one, and the weirdo mailman put it in a weird vestibule, and you can't get to it.
I can't get to it. I can see it, but I can't get to it. And the person whose vestibule it is clearly out of town because there's mail for them in the lobby that they have not picked up in a week. So,
well, that's perfect. I'm happy for them. So I'm fucked on that front. Now over in the Dutton front, Jeff, the mail got to you just fine. But then what did you do?
Opened it immediately.
So I'm fucked, but Mike doesn't know it's in the package. You tell him what was in there.
Mike, I'm going to show it to you right now.
Oh, boy.
See if you can read this over the Zoom.
It is chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Oh, Tim.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So that's...
That is wonderful. That's something I've always... You hear about as like a kid, and you're like, no way those exist. Have I ever had one, I would throw up just the idea of it.
The neighbor with the vestibule is going to be trying them very soon. But now the chocolate challenge was going to be to see how, which of you can eat more of these, I think that the chocolate challenge just kind of turned into me and Mike both watching Jeff and daring you to eat one.
So wait, Tim, you don't have one?
I don't have one. No, I'm the quiz master.
You created the challenge.
I'm the challenge festivities host.
Tim, I don't like this.
I considered being a real Knoxville to you guys and just sending just edible grasshoppers, which is gross. But I went with the dark chocolate covered.
Yeah, because of the cacao. Ooh.
And what are your feelings on the topic, Jeff? I'm not gonna force you. You can lose the challenge. But
no.
If you accept the challenge, you win.
I'll do it. I'm just gonna read what else is on this bag.
What are edible grasshoppers that aren't chocolate covered? Like just grasshoppers?
There's a whole world of it. Like there's fun kind of like Mexican flavors and there's like lemon pepper and there's this and that. And then there's also ones where they just like literally just toasted it with salt and nothing else.
Wow.
But these are, I believe, dipped in dark chocolate.
Yeah. So looking at the bag here up top, the brand is Eco Eat.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And you'll see it's underlined with like a sleek little curvy line.
Yeah.
That curvy line is actually a millipede. Very appetizing. And then under ingredients, the first ingredient is dehydrated grasshoppers. That's nice to see.
Dehydrated. So they didn't even like really bake them or toast them. They just got the water out of them.
And then the allergy
advice.
That's
weird advice. That the whole company, everything Eco Eat, maybe they just only make insects. That's weird. Wait, what's the allergy advice?
Allergy advice, crustaceans.
Mm. Oh,
so I don't know.
It's like a lobster.
Is a grasshopper considered a crustacean?
It has an exoskeleton, does it not?
I'm opening the bag right now, and I'll tell you, If they don't
Tim, he doesn't study grasshoppers. He just eats them.
If these look like grasshoppers, I'll be way more grossed out than if they're just like, oh, little logs that I can't really tell are grasshoppers.
I think they'll look like raisins.
I think it's just going to be like crunchy, Jeff. Yeah. I don't, the guts aren't going to come spilling out.
Okay, perfect. They're just blobs. Oh, fuck.
Does it look like a movie theater candy? Like a...
Ooh, yeah, take it out of the bag there.
Yeah, I can't really...
I got a nice, big, juicy one.
Oh.
They look like little turds.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, so that's nice that you can't see any legs or antennae.
No.
But it is kind of a turd shape, yeah.
Yep. Okay, bottoms up.
Now, chew it right on Mike. Get right up there.
It looked like it was kind of hard to chew, Jeff. Is it hard?
Oh, boy. Oh, hold on. Let me just get through this and we'll talk. Oh, boy.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it feels like there's a bug in there.
Can you feel the legs?
Michael. Oh, my God.
Michael. Now, what's the does it have its own taste or are you mainly, is it crunchy chocolate?
I really tried to will myself into thinking that it tasted like a crackle.
Ah.
You know, like... You know, you remember Crackle.
Like a crunch bar.
It's like a crunch bar. Rice inside. But here's the thing. Different parts of it were like harder to get through than others. So it definitely feels like there's an organic mass in there. It's not just like a homogenized, like, oh, there's some rice in there. It's like, oh, that must have been the head or whatever. Ooh. I don't know.
Did it taste different or just the idea of it was gross?
The mouth feel was maybe the most discouraging thing. Otherwise, it does sort of taste like... chocolate with maybe a little bit of an earthy tone to it.
Okay.
Oh, tastes like dark chocolate.
There's no sour splash because one time at Salazar, one of my favorite restaurants on earth, I got a spiked horchata and they put a cricket on top and it was just toasted, but not chocolate dipped. And it was pretty good, but it had a strong taste. It was like sour. Ugh. And I was surprised I liked it. You're not getting any like sour zing?
No sour zing, although I am finding little fibrous bits in my teeth and gums now, like little antennas and legs. You fucking asshole.
Well, Jeff, you accepted and won the chocolate challenge.
I accept too, but I just couldn't do it.
Oh, so Mike also has won the chocolate challenge.
What the now, fuck? Jeff, it came in that big like silver bag, and then you had like another Ziploc bag. Is that all that's in there?
Well, it actually came in this Petri dish too to like protect them from getting smushed.
Oh.
So it goes big bag, Petri dish, little bag.
Yeah, that's not so eco-friendly, it doesn't sound like.
It feels like it was made more in a lab than in a kitchen. It feels like scientists got their hands on some chocolate as opposed to some chefs got some bugs.
Look at the size of that bag versus the bag that it actually is filled with grasshoppers.
That's not much. There's probably like maybe six more of those in there.
But you know, these are a specialized exotic treat. I'm not poo-pooing that.
Sure.
I mean, hey, it was $14, $14.99.
For real?
Yep.
I mean, Tim, I'm going to hold on to these because I can see myself reaching for them. If I'm super fucked up.
Oh, you get the munchies. Now, Mike said he would garnish his grasshopper cocktail with a thin mint. I say, here's what you do. Next time you have a chick over to your place, you say, how about some cocktails with a very special garnish that matches the name of the cocktail? And then, there's a little turd mound on the side of the drink. And you say, don't worry, it's not a turd. It's just a bug.
It's just a chocolate-covered bug. Where are you going?
Oh, boy. And they are stuck in my teeth for sure. Bits of grasshopper.
Nasty, nasty.
Get some brushing in there. Well, I commend you on eating the grasshopper, both because of your adventurous spirit, but then also, this is podcast gold.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you hear the one where Jeff ate that bug?
Yeah, I heard it. I didn't like it.
It was an insect. It was an insect.
I fast forwarded through and it was boring. Hey.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. That's patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys. Thanks for listening, folks. See you next week.
And- And don't forget that on the TV show Kung Fu, the old master says, "Yes, young grasshopper."
He brought it up. He did it.
He did.